You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber-supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net, keep the site and all of our great shows going, and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Yo, it's me, Jess, from the Public Access Podcast, and here we are posting some episodes that we've been sitting on. This episode is from June 28th this past summer, and we hope you enjoy it. And while you're listening, be sure to head over to our Comedia Agogo channel on YouTube and subscribe. We would highly appreciate it. We have some really cool stuff in the works, and we also have my new video game series called My Neighbor Jess, You Saved My Life. If you dig the Public Access Podcast and you dig gaming, I think you're going to dig my new video game series. I would super, super duper appreciate it if you checked it out. Anyways, here we are, live at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club, June 28th. Enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Comedia Gogo's podcast, Public Access. Once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
Hey, this is Jess.
And we are pleased as punch to have as our guest, once again, the live audience at the Blind Tiger Comedy Club. Make some noise.
Make some noise.
We're doing it live.
Fuck it, we'll do it live.
We're really pleased.
This fucking thing sucks, we'll do it live.
So we are pleased as punch to have a really good crowd. San Antonio came through and we're able to start on time, baby.
Yeah, River City Rock Fest 2019.
And we are happy campers to be talking about what today, Regan?
Our three topics tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Topic number one is, what is your go-to karaoke song? All right? We want you to come up here and answer these questions. Topic number two is, tell us your best or worst experience switching schools. And topic number three, does music make you more creative? If so, what do you listen to when you want to be creative?
So it's summer. We're in a dark, humid dungeon. You know, we want to show everyone our gratitude for being down here in the humidity and pitting it up with us. You know, the kids are on vacation.
They are
Netflixed out. They have been watching so much stuff. So I'm introducing them to things. And before the podcast, I was telling you guys, I finally showed them Over the Top. And I sat them through this 88-minute film.
Has anybody out there seen Over the Top? Make some noise.
Okay, who has
one
not?
Person?
One guy.
Who has not seen Over the Top? Okay, we have multiple people. So for a quick synopsis of Over the Top, this is during Sylvester Stallone's heyday. This is post-Rocky III.
Right.
This is post-Rambo II. This is post-Cobra.
Yes.
Right? Ooh, so he decided to produce this film about a truck driver who picks up his son from military school, and he just so happens on the side arm wrestles.
But
and,
like, competition arm wrestles for money.
Yeah, he does it at truck stops, and he goes to Vegas for the arm wrestling championship of the world.
It's a real thing, though.
Yeah, to win $500,000 and a new truck.
But more importantly, he wants to win the love of his son.
Exactly.
Secondly, he likes the truck because that's his job. He's a trucker, and that could really, like,
apparently
do well
all
for him
arm wrestlers are truckers, because the grand prize was... All,
yeah, the grand prize was a truck. New truck.
Anyway,
yeah.
Amazing, brilliant movie.
Amazing, and it was it's 80s'd out. There's a fucking montage. They never bathe. Like, there's a lot of plot holes in this movie because he takes them on, like, a cross-country road trip. This, like, 12-year-old, like, you know, boarding school student, or border school. Who knows where this took place? So he teaches him not how to play catch, right? He teaches him how to do push-ups. How to do this, like, weightlifting machine that he has in the bed of his truck.
Yeah.
Right? And he teaches them how to arm wrestle kids on top of a pinball machine, which
Look,
is fucking great.
If your dad
great.
Is a professional baseball player, he ain't going to teach him tennis, all right?
You're right.
Teach him what he knows.
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right.
I got to teach you how to know.
That's Rocky. He was very, hey, Mike, they only take things one day at a time, or whatever the fuck he says. And it's like, you tell him, Sylvester. Like, you know, it was really, really nice. His name's Lincoln Hawk, and he owns...
That's the most fucking badass name.
Yeah.
Like, that's Lincoln pretty Hawk. Lincoln Hawk.
Like, Rocky Balboa.
Lincoln Hawk.
John Rambo.
No.
And then
it's like
Lincoln
Ford
Hawk.
Cougar.
Yeah.
And Cobra.
Then John
was his
Cobra.
Name. John Cobra.
Yeah.
John Rambo and John Cobra.
John Cobra.
Anyway, 80s movie, you showed it to your kid.
Yeah, show. And so... at first they were hesitant about it because of how long the credit sequence was in the beginning, and I forgot how long intros were to movies in the 80s because you had to see who started it, who was the casting director.
Somebody got a gig to play the song. The opening song was contractually obligated
going
to be in there.
Over the top, right? And so they're playing it, and they're like checked out because it was a 3-minute intro. And then when we get to the goods with the arm wrestling with Bull Hurley and stuff like that, Gunner, my son, was into it. Mikey was all like, but he loves his son. Like, they were just so like, they don't make movies like that anymore about stupid bullshit like arm wrestling.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing in the 80s.
At heart.
Was that the whole thing in the 80s? It was like, let's find an occupation and then make a movie about it. So like, you know, like Top Gun started that wave. Like, oh, it's a movie about the Navy or the Air Force and shit. And so it was like arm wrestling.
It was the Navy, right? Yeah.
Daytona driving. Like, it was just kind of. These weird occupations
that
people
just doing Tom Cruise movies.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Was this long
Navy guys against Marines?
Because Tom Cruise like took over the market of like what occupation have I not done? And Jackie Chan topped that when he made a movie and he was a chef, which was like Mr. Nice Guy is a really cool movie.
But, right.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the movie is called.
Did you here's the thing. Did you arm wrestle Gunner afterwards?
Absolutely. Arm wrestle.
That's the true key of
on
bonding
top of a
watching
glass
that movie.
Table.
Yeah.
Just so I could just like
did he go over the top on you though?
Yeah. Because like
but he still what?
He told him because he was like he was struggling, right? You know, he's 9, so he's almost stronger than me. And so like we're going, right? And then he does the arm thing, he goes, gotta go over the top. And so he says that, which they say multiple times in the movie. You know, over the top, Mike, over the top. It just means doing that. It just means like doing that. And they take way too fucking seriously. It was fucking weird.
But the announcer doesn't say that in the movie, right?
Like,
no. Like, at the climax, shit, he's going over the top. Like, no one said that.
No, Lincoln Hawk says that.
Oh,
and
okay.
So then Mike from the audience goes, go over the top, Dad! And it, like, he goes over the top. You're like, and then they win the truck, and then they drive off. And it was a
can feel the man emotion. And sailor almost fired.
And spoiler alert: the reason why it was a happy ending was because the mother died. Just think about that. You don't have to deal with in-laws anymore. You own your own business. It's an 80s flick. Don't got to worry about nag, nag, nag. I have cancer. Like, you know, shut up, lady. Let me take my son who's military trained and can arm wrestle and loves me after an 8-hour road trip of me abandoning him in his old life. Just fucking 80s, like, mwah. Like, why did you leave us? Sometimes do what you got to do. And you're like, good enough for me. Yeah, good enough for me. I love you, Dad. I know, right? So yeah, so I showed him that for the sole reason of showing them Over the Top 2, The Rise of Mike Hawk.
Okay.
Yeah. So I tell them, so for those of you who are not familiar with Comedia Go-Go, we are a sketch comedy troupe, and we entered this film contest called Unnecessary Sequels. And go on our YouTube page and look up OTT, which stands for Over the Top 2, The Rise of Mike Hawk. And I wish I remembered the name that his actual last name was, because it wasn't Hawk in the movie. So when we realized his name was, now that he lived with his dad, was Mike Hawk, we're like, oh, cool. We're going to call this Over the Top 2, The Rise of Mike Hawk. And so it's a great movie. Because he was a military student, he went out to war. He lost an arm. Right? So how could he arm wrestle? So then this biotech company made cybernetic arms. And then like it was... And we won the contest. This was an Austin contest.
We got second place, but still, I'll take it.
We got second place?
Yeah, we got second place.
We won that one.
Did we win that one?
No, we won that one. We got second place on the TV.
Oh, okay,
yeah. Because Bob Ross won.
Yeah, so we won.
But you still beat out another competition group that also did their own.
Yes,
that's right.
Two. Yeah, another group did an Over the Top 2 because Robert Loggia, for those of you who don't know, he's what would
Jimmy.
They
know? What?
Who would they know Robert Loggia from? What's it like number one?
Independence Day.
Big. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Final Monster, like to stand by your side.
Yeah, he's like, exactly. He's like, let's play the piano, Tom Hanks. God damn it. Yeah, so Robert Loggia is an Over the Top 2, so he was a big focus in the other group's thing. But I showed him Over the Top 2. And the kids bought into it. They were like, oh my God, this looks amazing because it's just a trailer. And then I come out and they're like, bullshit. And they're like, and I was like, guys, I was in the sequel to this movie. This is a big deal.
They don't know you're famous?
They're in denial, man. It's how I would assume fucking, like, you know, Jay-Z's kids.
Nah, Paul Rudd's kids. Yeah,
Paul Rudd's kids.
They don't give a fuck about, like, their movies or anything. Yeah.
Ashley Rudd.
Yeah.
Naomi Rudd.
Your dad's man. Whatever.
They start a country group called the Rudds. Mama, he's crazy. Right? They have no idea who the Judds are. So...
Is that a real Judd song?
Yeah, it's the only one that I know.
Sorry, guys, I don't
Mama,
listen to the Judds.
He's great with her mother daughter.
No, yeah, I know who they are.
And then Naomi Judd. And then she got wine stained and fucking like.
What happened?
She got wine stained.
It wasn't Naomi Judd. It was Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd.
Yeah, it was Ashley Judd.
No one would meet to Naomi Judd. You're right.
Fair enough.
So look up Over the Top 2. Over the Top 1, if you have Amazon Prime.
Oh.
Yeah, you watch that shit. Yeah.
Make him watch all three Matrixes.
I tried, dude. I tried. He wasn't into it. John Wick? We're good. So I'll just be like, this is just John Wick that could fly.
In the future, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Exactly. John Wick could fly in this one. And then, but he digs, he dug Bill and Ted. So he was like, why is Ted Theodore Logan shooting all these people? I was like, because he killed his dog.
Yeah.
So
natural reaction.
You know, he's like, be excellent to each other. Don't kill dogs. Absolutely. Or else you get fucking the entire city of New York gets murdered.
Zip line. Do you have a kneecap? Bye-bye. Yeah, yeah.
If you have a beard, that made me want to shave my beard when he grabs a dude by the beard and caps him. You saw John Wick 3.
Oh, yeah.
How was that?
It's good. It was very nice.
John Wick's great. John Wick 3's great.
If anybody hasn't seen all three of them, oh, don't worry. Guess what? He kills a lot of people.
Yeah.
He's really good at
it. Yeah.
But like I said, the reason why he's such a... he survives through three movies is because he was a genuinely good person and a good guy and a professional. It
goes a long way.
And everyone was like, you know what? You're a good guy. I'm going to help you out. It wasn't just because he was the greatest assassin.
That's
so
the moral of the story.
So if you're planning on being an assassin, be a nice assassin.
Yeah. Think about it. All the assholes get killed in the John Wick movies. The nice guys
finish first.
Professional courtesy.
Well, technically, finishing last is best if it's surviving.
Exactly.
Right?
That's what I would. That's why I was going to say that, obviously. Out? I mean, if you give me a fucking chance to say it.
Well, does that math check out? Finishing last is best when you're surviving?
Yeah, yeah. If you're not first,
it's
you're
Survivor,
last.
Right?
It's Ricky Bobby, man.
Yes, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Math.
Finishing last is also good with
the
sex.
The winner of Battle Royale finishes last.
A gentleman finishes last. It's like ladies first, squirt, 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 and then you go, m'lady,
you're welcome.
Yeah, exactly. You're welcome. And then I'm not on birth control. It's like, oh,
that's on you.
Yeah, exactly. It's your choice,
or that's right? In you.
Like
now.
Bill Miller's. It's like, is it my choice? It's your choice. I'm pro choice. You do what you want with it.
I'll be leaving the country.
No. What? They just. Don't pay. A.B. Quintanilla went fucking years without paying any of it. Like, he has a... He could make Los Dinos. Like, that's how many kids he has. Like, he could follow in his dad's footsteps.
Does anybody know what he's talking about?
And force his children to start at the Hano Band.
This is a musician who has lots of kids out of wedlock.
Out of wedlock, man. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah, man, top.
Speaking of creamy coleslaw.
Oh, hey, we got...
Yeah, sir, of kids and your name, and your name.
Y'all remember that movie with the fucking, the people, the mail, and he was a mailman, and he was like, I've got a shit ton of kids, and they put it on the sperm, like, he put it in the sperm.
Oh, Vince Vaughn.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit.
That's basically what's going on right now.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, yeah. Oh, my God, what's the name of that movie? Wedding Crashers.
No!
Special Delivery.
There it is, nice, yeah.
It's not called Special Delivery?
Yeah.
No, I think it was called Special Delivery. Or Check Your Box. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Leave it on the doorstep, which is a good... What were you yelling out? Go ahead.
Delivery man.
Delivery man.
Is that what it is?
Special delivery was very close.
Delivery man. Thank you very much.
Special delivery was like
counts. You could yell that out because then we'll repeat it on the mic. So we're good. Delivery. Yeah, thank you so much.
The Brazzers version.
Oh, yeah. Special delivery.
Yeah, special delivery is the Brazzers version.
Special
delivery. The Brazzers, that's the prequel to the movie. The actual making of all those kids.
With Dick Vaughn.
Yeah, with
Wait,
Dick Vaughn.
He was just an hour donor. He wasn't boning people. He was just a sperm donor.
Oh, yeah. But,
yeah,
I mean,
but the Brazzers version. Special delivery, yeah, and so he's boning people, yeah. And
okay,
yeah,
I'm not on birth control.
Yeah, and it's like special plot. Delivery. Burr, 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 burr. And that's when the credits roll. The end. That's the titular line. I just made a special delivery. And he high fives
all
frame.
The dudes that are in the room too.
Anyways,
yeah, Pornhub guys, one of our sponsors. We'd like to thank Pornhub for all of their donations to the public access. So yeah, man, I showed my children. Over the top, too.
That's a good summer so far.
And over the top, yeah.
That's a good summer.
Coming up next, The Wizard.
Oh, The Wiz or The Wizard?
The Wizard, yeah.
With Fred Savage.
The
Nintendo
and the Power
Champion.
Glove. And,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Gunner's going to love that.
Yeah, I know he's going to love that. And the lead singer of Rilo Kiley. That is a very obscure reference.
It is true. Yeah, the sister or the girlfriend or whatever. Yeah.
Fucking A.
Yeah.
Listen to Rilo Kiley. And watch The Wizard, which is also on Amazon Prime, another one of our sponsors.
To you by Amazon Prime.
So, yeah, man. So this summer's been kick ass. The kids haven't left the house, and I haven't paid a dime in daycare.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
All the movies in the theater suck right now, so you don't have to take them to the movies.
No, there's Toy Story 4.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, right? That's right.
It's the 90s. Have you seen that meme? Like, what year is this?
Yeah, 90s.
It's
Chucky.
It's Men in Black. Child's Play.
It's Chucky
Southside.
Dog.
It's not called Chucky. It's called Child's Play.
The new Chucky Dog.
The new Chucky, folks. It's fucking Aladdin, Men in Black, Toy Story, Child's Play, and I think they're doing a sequel to Clueless.
And then Spider-Man's in there, too.
Yeah, Spider-Man. With Stacey Dash as I'm not a black person. So, yeah, man. So, go to the movies and have kids and wait till they're old enough and have them take care of themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, Jess, what do you have going on today?
Hey, everybody. It's time for the first topic of the evening. And tonight's topic is a segment that I like to sometimes call, sometimes, you know, there's a movie or a video game or something that comes out and you want it to, like, you know, pique your interest. And then sometimes it just kind of doesn't look really good. And it makes you go, All right, then. So tonight's topic inspired movie is the movie upcoming movie called Yesterday. It is a movie about a man who wakes up in a world where the Beatles don't exist anymore.
Slumdog made that movie, dog.
But what this movie presupposes is what if the guy knew all the Beatles songs? And so what happens is he knows all the Beatles songs in a world where the Beatles don't exist. And so he's like, oh, shit. I'm going to get famous by singing all these amazing Beatles songs. And then he basically climbs up the ladder of success because he's singing all these wonderful Beatles songs in a world where the Beatles don't exist. So
is his album called Meet the Beatles?
I just think
they address that.
It's bullshit. Cause like in a world where the Beatles didn't exist, like wouldn't have like five other black dudes have invented rock and roll from like back then up until now or something like that. Or
but
like
do the Rolling Stones.
It's just another band would exist. That was the Beatles.
So the Who would have been the Beatles. And then it's like the real question
of
like
the Rolling Stones would have been the Beatles.
The Rolling Stones would have been the Beatles.
The Kinks or anybody. Regardless,
right?
So if he made those songs now, it wouldn't be popular.
And if you want to see this movie,
you know, who here's a Beatles fan? Razor makes normal
Beatles
fan.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so, like, what happens in this movie is I think it's a karaoke fan's wet dream. I think every person who's singing karaoke has had this thought linger in their brain. Maybe it's just me. But you sing a song and you're like, man, what if this band didn't exist and I made this song and I would be fucking popular? Much like when I was, like, a kid and I always imagined a movie about, like, a half man and a half cop robot. And RoboCop came out and then I felt gypped. And then I was like, oh, man, but what if, like, you know, this years passed on. What if RoboCop didn't exist, but I made RoboCop, and I'm the one who made the movie where a robot shoots a dude in the dick? Then I would be the guy. They would all those quotes and all those wonderful characters and everything. Then I would have like to sit back and go.
You call it RoboCop?
Yeah, man. I'd call it RoboCop. Half man, half robot. All cop.
Robot cop. Robot police.
Robot officer.
Robot officer. So the exact same movie, but every time they say RoboCop, it's Robot Officer.
Robot Officer.
Do they even say RoboCop?
Yeah, they say, look, the future of law enforcement.
Robot Officer.
Robot Officer. Now you're not a robot officer. Man, that movie would fucking rule. Anyways,
the movie... I'd buy that for four quarters.
It's just slightly off and just slightly kiltered. My version, he'd shoot that guy in the dick two times, though. That's how it upped the ante.
Would that 70s show still be the bad guy?
Fuck yeah, he would. Oh, hell yeah. Fuck yeah, he would. So, getting back to yesterday, that inspires...
Well, real quick.
Yes.
You had a weird dream. Where you would say, in a word, we've all fantasized about bands not existing. One, no. two, I think we've all fantasized about our favorite bands that we know all the words to, like where the lead singer's throat gets slit or something. And they're like, we need, who knows all the words to all of our songs? And you're there. And they're like, hey, the chubby guy with the beard up there, come down. And you're all like rolling, because it's your favorite band. And you're did it all for the Nookie. And everyone's like, you're way, like the Ripper. Like the Ripper.
Yeah,
the Ripper.
Yeah, they made Judas that Priest movie, didn't they?
It was Rockstar.
Rockstar, yeah, which is based off the Ripper.
And then, fucking Kim Jong-un with Journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not... Anyways, it's one of those weird lazy dreams. Instead of having a dream where you're a millionaire and rich, you have this weird convoluted dream where you're like, oh man, I wish, I wish Limp Bizkit didn't exist because then I could write all the songs and then be rich.
Yeah, would love me.
This is convoluted millionaire's dream.
Right.
Anyways, that inspires tonight's topic because it made me think of karaoke. And the topic, the first topic for the evening is, what is your go-to karaoke song?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Do you have a desire to shit all your inhibitions and get in front of a mic and really belt out the tunes and really feel like a rock star? Just totally feel it. And so I would like to basically kick it off and say my go-to karaoke song, because I'm a big fan of nasally European 80s pop. I love Duran Duran's Hungry Like the Wolf.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. Yes. If you've never seen him sing Hungry Like the Wolf, then you've never really heard Hungry Like the Wolf.
So I like Hungry for the Wolf for two reasons. One, yes, it's the whole nasally, all European, nasally sound.
Don't.
And then secondly, it gives me all the excuse to howl like a wolf all the time, because I love howling like a wolf, like an actual I love any excuse to make that sound. And that song, it's satisfying two of my necessities to sing.
Are you gonna give us a little sample or no?
No, I'm not gonna give you a sample. We can go upstairs and we can go sample,
because my favorite thing that you do when you do Hungry Like it is you go, I'm on a hot top map dying. What are you doing? It's fucking, that's the best. So
it is pretty good. They have it upstairs, so maybe I'll do it. So Hungry Like the Wolf. I love it.
Do you have an honorable mention?
Yeah, Rio, which is also another
dream. Oh, nice. Okay.
You don't have Hungry Like the Wolf, and then Rio.
Of course they have Hungry. It's just a second song you do.
Okay.
But I'm a better man, cities of wine. Really, I think that's just the reason why I love that. Just do that for all.
Not Electric Boulevard?
No. Oh, Electric Avenue. Oh, yeah. I fucking love Electric Avenue.
No, but if Electric Avenue did exist, you'd call it Electric Boulevard.
We gotta rock
down in the street. That was my list.
It still works. Electric Street,
Electric Boulevard.
So I'm gonna give three because I think we were arguing about top three.
Just give some of your top.
This is my top three. There you go.
My number one is "Say It Ain't So" by Weezer. It's my go-to. I know all the words to it. I can hit River Cuomo notes. It's a fun song. I enjoy it. There's a fucking a guitar solo break so I can catch my breath.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very awkward if you're not used to being on stage when they have long guitar solos, because I love watching the cringiness of someone doing karaoke and it's a long guitar solo part. They're just there like,
oh, I forgot about this.
And it's 24 measures, and you're like,
air guitar, asshole, get into it.
Have some fun, right?
Dance.
No, not if you're drunk, because you're just like, right?
So,
a shout out to the guy that did Tequila on America's Got Talent. He did a karaoke version of Tequila, and it's the funniest shit in the world, because he just goes, Tequila. He doesn't even do it. It's really funny. So, Say It Ain't So by Weezer. My number two is actually From Out of Nowhere by Faith No More. Not too many karaoke bars have it.
That song, right?
I've been singing that song since I was 8 years old, and I can hit the nasally Mike Patton notes. And if I want to get the party going, then it's Humpty Dance. I can rock the Humpty Dance. I don't need... I don't need the fucking screen to do the Humpty dance, you know. And so I can grab my Humpty voice and just grab my nose like that, and it's awesome. So those are my three Humpty Hump.
Nice. I'll do top three. I am a huge fan of female artists, but I also brave. Just think it's really fun to do female artists as karaoke. It's very not expected. So here are top three in no particular order. Number one, Tiffany. I Think We're Alone Now.
Yeah.
Absolutely fun. Absolutely amazing. Good fun answer. Song. To, number two, Christina Aguilera. Beautiful.
Can you hit those notes like Christina?
No, I kind of sing it.
Baritone?
So, no, like what do you call it? Like
Barry White?
What do you, like a Vegas lounge,
a
like a lounge singer?
A crooner?
Kind of,
oh,
yeah.
Crooner,
yeah.
Yeah, like Goulet.
Yeah. That's why I rock with. And then number three, probably my favorite, is "Man, I Feel Like a Woman" by Shania Twain.
Yeah,
it's just the O's are the funnest. Totally crazy. It's such a good song to karaoke. Those are my top three. All women. Oh, and Total Eclipse of the Heart too. That's also.
Oh, that is awesome. That is awesome. So
yeah, all women.
Because there's very good theatrics to go with that song. Because if you're not doing theatrics of karaoke, then why you bother? It's theatrics.
Yeah. Nobody wants to hear a good singer at karaoke.
Yeah, not right? Like on those are the worst. Step Brothers. It's like if you can't sing, you're not invited. Like no, you got to sing to be like get the fuck out of here. Like I'm there to see. Half autistic woman sing Little Mermaid on stage and enjoy every second of look at this stuff, isn't it neat? And you're like, no one loves you.
Is that no? That's not what happened.
I was a karaoke DJ for like a year.
Real quick, Facebook answers. We asked everybody on Facebook. Timmy Elliott said, "When Doves Cry" is the only acceptable answer.
Fair enough.
Javi Luna says, "Run DMC, tricky, but I lost the DMC to my run, so no more." Sir Ryan Timothy Brace says, "Wonder Boy by Tenacious D."
Yeah.
It was the first song he ever karaoke.
Nice.
Richard Morgan says, "Either Delilah or She's a Lady by Tom Jones, depending on how dramatic or romantic I'm feeling."
That was King Diamond. I was like, oh, the King Diamond.
Irma Ruiz says, "Super Bass" by Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, that sounds about right for a 40-year-old woman. sorry.
PJ Rodriguez says plus. "Cranberries Linger."
Oh, no.
Jason Shaggy Gosser says "Tyrone" by Erykah Badu.
Yeah,
that's from
an old white man. That's a fucking yeah.
This is an
move,
old
yeah.
white dude singing yeah. friggin' Erykah Badu. It's brilliant. Matthew Wayne says "Renegade" by Styx.
Fucking
Alfred ooh. Perez says "You Don't Mess Around with Jim" by Jim Croce.
Yeah.
Gabe Diaz says "If Car Karaoke Counts." "Someone Saves My Life Tonight" by Elton John.
Doesn't
or
count.
"Master Exploder" by Tenacious D.
Hell yeah.
Josh Pullen says, nice. He just posted a picture of him singing, what is it, "Near, Far, Wherever You Are."
My Love Will Go On.
Oh, My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah. Will
Celine
go on,
Dion.
Yeah.
But if she didn't exist.
Yeah, then if she didn't exist in a world where Celine Dion didn't exist, and I was the hit singer of the Titanic song, it would be My Heart Would Go On.
Got it.
Yeah. My Love Will Go On.
Love Will Go On.
Bobby Smith says, "Snoop Dogg, Gin and Juice."
Mm-hmm. I do that with a country background.
Wait, what?
I'll put some sort of like bullshit new country and I'll be like, "So much drama into LBC."
Forrest Gabbage says, "It's been years, but I was the go-to guy if you needed a Fred Schneider for Love Shack." Lucas Marcotte said, "This Guy's in Love with You" by Herb Alpert, but sung in the lounge vocal styling of Mike Patton.
Mike Patton, that's right. Yeah.
Bridget Holloway, "Shoop, Salt and Pepper." Ooh, that's a good one.
That is a good one.
Maggie Castillo says, "Proud Mary," Tino's version.
She does the dancing and shit, too.
Yeah. Yvette Hester says, "Hit Me with Your Best Shot," Pat Benatar.
Which, funny, a Tina Turner song would be followed by "Hit Me with Your Best Shot." I find that kind of ironic and mean.
Do you think she ever told Mike to fire away?
Yeah.
Like, was really pissed off. Yeah, fire away!
And Ike,
eat the
terrible.
Cake, anime! Eat the cake!
Amador Salazar says, "Jimmy Buffett, Cheeseburger in Paradise."
Fuck you.
Exactly. Absolutely
on
board.
Come on.
Adolf Hipster.
Yeah. Hey, I saw him. Anyway.
Yeah.
Angel Bezos says, "The Soviet National Anthem." I would like to watch that. I'm okay. I'm on board for watching that. I just want to hear somebody go up to the karaoke and go, "Hey, guy, do you have the Soviet National Anthem?"
Bob, like, for that.
Oh, it's well, these days, right?
Line, right?
YouTube.
Yeah.
Eric Genevieve says, "Billy Joel, Only the Good Die Young."
Nice.
And that's it.
Yeah, very good answer. So we have some live answers. So please step up to the microphone. Yes. Let us know, sir.
Your name?
Oh, my name's Kevin.
Kevin. Hey, Kevin. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thanks.
What's your top karaoke?
So I was stationed on the USS Enterprise before it was retired.
Ooh.
And we would use the front aft for a movie. But the only problem is we had to watch Navy military movies.
Okay.
So the top three choices were Top Gun, yeah. Battleship, and I don't remember the other fucking movie.
Battleship counted with Rihanna?
Yeah, Battleship.
McHale's Navy?
B2.
So I've literally watched Top Gun probably 120 times.
Yeah.
Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By Jerry Lee Lewis?
Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Very
good,
nice.
Good pick. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I want to hear you do it upstairs.
Yeah, that's where everyone who... Oh, no.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Yeah, Great Balls of Fire, set the stage on fire. Paulo, public access favorite. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Believe it or not, it's the easiest song to forget. And whenever I was asked to sing at a karaoke bar, believe it or not, was Three Doors Down, Kryptonite. For fucking reason, I remember every goddamn word.
No, that's like one of those like fucking curses that you know, like every word of that.
It's like, how the fuck does that even happen?
Yeah,
you hear, like, the first bar, and then you have like obligated to sing the entire song.
Yeah, like I know that Vitamin C song, that Sunshine song, because I worked at the movie theaters when. Yeah, exactly. Vitamin C. Yeah, she played Lucy in fucking Dracula 2000.
Just in case you didn't know that.
Fucking 300 was fucking Dracula, bro.
Well, anyway, speaking of Vitamin C, yesterday, it's a movie that I wish starred Jason Statham, who I wish it starred Jason Statham as a drunk Cockney guy who woke up in a world where the Beatles didn't exist, because it's just over the top, like, oh, blue boss in the jungle! Just like really drunk.
Like, for Sex Pistols style.
Yeah, just really just drunk. Drunk guy, and then he gets famous for taking all those hits. But yesterday,
did you see yesterday?
No, it's coming out this weekend. It's always the case.
Just based on the trailer alone.
Yeah, I saw the trailer and I was like, yeah, right. I did. So right. Yesterday, yeah, I did.
Wait, but what if you woke up and the Beatles didn't exist, but you knew all the Beatles songs, but you couldn't sing?
Yeah, because that guy could sing.
Oh, that's a Twilight Zone. Like that's like that. Like
that's monkey's paw.
It's not fair. It's not fair.
Well, it's monkey's paw kind
of
stuff.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, we'll move on. All right, so it's now time for Dad's Corner.
Hooray!
Here we are on Dad's Corner, making dreams come true.
Stop counting coupons and get involved in Daddy's Corner, bitch.
Yeah. So this is my topic where we talk about raising children, being children,
any
nostalgia
parents?
And whatnot. And I'd like to ask the audience, how many people have kids? Make some noise.
Yeah, how enthusiastic they are, it was saddened, no energy cheers of parents.
I
love kids.
It's because it's the summer, and like I said when the podcast started, summer is great for the kids and awful for the parents, because we have to spend time with the ones we love, our kids now. Like, enjoy it, god damn it. They're gonna grow up and pull out Captain over there. Good for you, sir. My dick's too long, and so
wait, what?
Well, because I try to pull out, and it's all like
too late.
Yeah,
I get it.
It's like I'm gonna come, and I'm gonna pull out like
30 seconds later.
Sorry, blah blah blah, and it is just a fucking fire hose.
I never thought about the logistics of that.
Exactly,
that's tough. No wonder you got
small dick dudes always.
No kids. Absolutely.
Yeah, right.
Done. And
it's just like
it
that on a girl's lip. It's just
now.
Like on a girl's vagina lips. Like that. That's how they have sex. Girls come because it's clitoral.
I mean, this
I'm
is
not
stuff,
gonna get
this
into
is
it.
Stuff that you should be teaching kids in like 8th grade.
Yeah,
like, you just like, guys, if you got a huge dick, you're going to have lots of kids.
Exactly.
So.
It was like, so all the guys with monkey wrenches, come on this side of the room, and all you Tic Tac guys, you're good. You don't need to learn this.
Mr. Garza, this is Algebra 2.
Well, look, you got a Y-axis in there, okay?
Yeah.
And if you're going to punch a cervix, you're probably going to get the chick preggers. But if you can't give a pap smear with your dong, then you're good.
What's going on?
Life lessons.
These are life lessons, man.
It's summer.
Do you
He's
have any
talking
kids?
About his kids.
No, I don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I have a small dick.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
He's talking about his teaches his kids? Wait, where is this going?
So, Y plus X equals...
fuck yeah.
Exactly. X and Y, fucking half as sexy, man. So we are blessed to have these kids that were made from dumping in a girl. And... And dumping. Summer's here, and it's a transition year for us because my lovely daughter, who's turning 14, is going to go into high school next year, and I have talked about my son's dyslexia, and we've decided to put him in a charter school, and so he is going to go to a charter school that will help him focus on his dyslexia. So this will be a transition for both of the kids to go into new schools. And so, you know, my heart goes out to them. I know they're stressed out about it. They're going to, you know, counseling to make sure the transition's good. It's stressful for me. I feel bad for them. But then I thought about it, and I was like, I transferred schools a bunch of times. My daughter obviously made the elementary to middle school. They made all these fucking, like, homes in our neighborhood, and they were like, oh, we're going to rezone your district, and you're going to the hood school now. And we're like, no, please, no! And so my kids went to the hood school to where now they have, for those not from San Antonio, they have Marbach accents now, where they're like, miss, hey, miss, hey, miss! And my wife's like, call me mom! And, and so... You know, I want to make sure the transition's good because neither of them are going to have friends going to their school. My daughter's going to a magnet school for computer programming, and like I already said about my son. So it made me think about the transitions that I had. And I went to a Catholic school. Difference between Catholic school, there's no middle school. You go from kinder to eighth grade, then you go to a high school. I'll start with my answer. I transitioned quite a few times, and I can only imagine if anyone was in the military how often, or had parents that were in the military, how often you had to transition schools. So the first school I went to was called St. Teresa's, and it closed down. And I remember being deathly afraid, kinder and first grade, when I went there because this is when corporal punishment was allowed. And so they had this whole like line of belts that went from thick to skinny, and depending on how bad of whatever you did, like if you talked really quietly or you didn't blow the priest, would determine like how much like the width of the belt
right.
And the thinner the belt was, the worse thing you got. And so
you just made a giant belt, and I'm just imagining this giant light belt,
this fucking ultimate warrior fucking champion intercontinental tag team
striking the fear in these poor children.
Exactly. And I was the thin ones, man. It was a fucking like you know, because
you hear the
belts.
Yeah, you hear the wind whistle when it comes down,
tears skin, man. Yeah, so it, you know, the 50 Shades of Gray red room that St. Teresa's had, it got closed down, and I went to St. Cecilia's, which was just down the road and on the southeast side of San Antonio. And that transition was crazy because I mean, in second grade, you think, you know, the kids aren't going to be dicks, all dicks, and they treated me like this big, like this foreigner just because I wasn't from the school. But luckily, I had four friends with me. So then I stayed there till eighth grade, and then I went to this preparatory school called St. Anthony. So we're kind of like rich kids went. It was an ex-seminary. So, you know, teaching us how to like, you know, what's the word? What's it called? Groom children.
God damn
and
it.
So,
No!
They were teaching me how to be a priest, you know?
No, God
and
damn
so
it.
I wasn't down with that. So I ended up getting kicked out, and my grandma was still persistent on me going to Catholic school, so I went to St. Gerard's, which is if anyone's seen Sister Act 2, it was basically like Sister Act 2 without Whoopi Goldberg. Like, we had the same uniforms. Lauryn Hill went there.
So a laugh
it
was riot like, from
yeah,
beginning to
exactly,
end.
Yeah, we had, you know, goofy priests and stuff. Yeah, they were really, really silly. No, actually, we didn't have priests at St. Gerard's. But that transition was fun because all of my friends that were at St. Cecilia's didn't go to the prep school. They went to St. Gerard's. So when I showed up to St. Gerard's my junior year, I was like, what's up, bitches? And like, it was fun because I had all these like preppy, you know, friends from the previous school give me all their parents' alcohol. So I had a lot of rich, and in a previous podcast, I talked about stealing at house parties. So I stole all these preppy kids like CDs and stuff like that. So I passed them out to all my friends at St. George. So the transition was only bad when I went from first to second grade because
it was a rough years, man.
Yeah, eighth to ninth grade was bad. So I'm really worried about my kids because they're, you know, old enough to remember. What about you guys?
I had zero bad transitions. I stayed in the same house. So, like, all my friends in elementary school went to my middle school.
Yeah, the whole experience.
Yeah, and then all of my friends in middle school went to my high school. So, like, there was no bad transition at all.
You didn't lose friends? I mean, not everybody.
Not the ones I cared about, apparently. Like, it wasn't big of a deal.
Right.
Like, it was, like, pretty sweet. Like, I'm not going to, like, every year I was like, oh, hey, you're there. And, yeah, everyone kind of... I guess, I don't know. That's how it works, right? Everyone in your neighborhood you're friends with?
Yeah,
and they should all go to the same school, essentially?
Essentially, yeah.
It just worked out for me, I guess. That
Are you still friends with people you went to kindergarten with?
Elementary school? Yes. Yes. I still have. Nick Bush.
Kindergarten.
Fifth grade. Not kindergarten.
Well, no, you literally just said elementary.
I said since elementary school. Fifth grade is elementary school.
All right.
Yeah.
But so, no friends since kindergarten.
No, I don't remember any. I remember there was a girl in kindergarten named Reagan.
Reagan.
My name's Reagan. And so I thought that we were going to get married. Because when you're in kindergarten, you're like, oh.
That's how you think things work.
I'm Reagan, you're Reagan. Obviously, it's meant to be that we should get married.
So she would essentially have, you would be Reagan Arevalos, and she would be Reagan Arevalos.
Reagan Arevalos.
That's really conceited.
Why?
Because you want your wife not just to have your last name.
Oh, no, she can keep her last name. I don't care. No, but yeah, so I was going to marry her. Sadly, guys, we didn't get married.
Didn't work out
she
that
died
way.
In in kindergarten.
No, but...
She was boiled by a last child seen by predator.
Last seen by a sewer, sewer hole.
With a red balloon.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't get married. It didn't work out. She didn't go to my... Oh, no, because I went to... That's why. Here's why, guys.
Oh, shit.
Because I switched schools.
Because I switched schools. I actually, in kindergarten, this is before... For kindergarten, I actually went to a Lutheran private school sort of thing.
Oh, okay.
Right, because my grandfather mowed the lawns of it, and so I got, like, free. I got there for free.
Oh, you got Forrest Gumped in?
Yeah. So...
Fuck yeah.
Dude, it was amazing. They cooked meals for you. It was like crazy. So maybe that was my bad transition when I finally went to like a lunch line and I was like, where's the lady that's not hand cooking my meal? This is crap.
A line?
Bullshit. I gotta wait in a line?
When's mass, asshole? Yeah.
There's your answer.
Sure, that was real tough for me. It was really
that's really tough,
but it counts, dude.
But then I learned the amazingness of cheese toast in the morning. I don't know if you guys ever got that as a breakfast.
Oh man, like what? Just toast with a piece of Kraft cheese and you melt it on there?
It was just really good. I don't know. It was just like Texas toast with cheese on it, then pizza, and then enchiladas and cornbread. Come on, that's amazing.
They're filling you guys up, man. Yeah. Here,
hefty.
Yeah, dude, you get double lunches.
You had double lunches?
You could, right? Is that a thing that you guys could get in high school or middle school?
You can
get doubles.
That was just you, bro.
Well, they had two lunch periods. You weren't supposed to take both of them, but people like you and me did.
No, I just get double lunches, man.
When you had an elective, you're like, I'll
take lunch one.
Do you have advanced lunch?
Algebra 1, lunch 1.
I'll take AP lunch.
Exactly. AP lunch.
Dual credit lunch.
Oh, this is college. College lunch.
Wait, so nobody had double. You couldn't get double art. Sorry, guys.
God damn
it. I'm lying to you. That never happened in high school. But I do work at a high school. And when you're an adult. And you work at a high school. Guess what? Double lunches, baby.
Thanks, man. That's our tax dollars.
Oh no, I still have to pay for them. I don't get them free.
No,
but it's like $2.50 for four enchiladas and two pieces of cornbread.
Yeah, you know what else is fucking? Yeah, whatever, man. Double lunches.
I grew up in the north side for the elementary school for the first period of time. So to give you a gauge of what it was, I was not cool enough to play Dungeons and Dragons. So that was the neighborhood I was in. I took a tap dancing class. Let's paint the picture of my elementary
these
school
are all
years.
Past podcast
these are, yeah,
stories,
these are
guys.
All past stories. And so the transition that was kind of, it was two sides, two transitions. It was kind of weird. The transition from fifth grade to sixth grade. So you go from the north side to Edgar Allan Poe Middle School. It is on the southeast side or
no,
south
no, that was
east
side.
East side, straight east side.
Nevermore.
Holy
fuck, what a transition. Because like I said, you're not cool enough to play Dungeons and Dragons. You're that kid. But then you go to school and it's like, give me your book, bitch. Like, just immediate, like, and this is sixth grade. This is total, like,
they took
culture
your
shock
book?
In there. No, they just said, like, let me borrow your book, bitch. No,
and they get it and then they throw it in the trash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't know. It's bully. Yeah. That's bully stuff.
And then they made fun of me because that's how I learned about masturbation, because this... Because this guy was bullying me. I didn't know I was being bullied. And he goes, hey, I bet you spent a long time in the shower with the shampoo. And I was like, I did not get what he was saying. And he's like, you spent a long time in the shower with the shampoo. And he's doing the jack-off motion.
But
I didn't know.
That's something his uncle probably told
him. Yeah, I know.
That's
creepy. In subtext, it's creepy. But that's how I was like, what are you talking about? You jack off in the shower. And I did not know what the fuck he was talking about. So
I tried it.
I did. Yeah. And then so.
And then the bubbles hurt and he switched to conditioner. That was a fucking asshole move. Because if you ever tried to jerk off with shampoo, the bubbles hurt your dick hole, which is an asshole move unless you use baby shampoo, which is creepy. So just use fucking conditioner. And if you're 13 years old, it makes your pubes nice and glistening and full of volume.
There's other stuff you should be teaching kids in algebra too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sleek and shine. I got it, man.
Well, speaking of algebra too,
like sex ed is an actual class, but we're saying you're still teaching algebra too.
Yeah, it's all like, you guys are never going to use this in life. Here's what you do. You can use a condom twice, and here's why.
Well, speaking
turn
of
turn it inside out,
speaking
right?
of algebra,
upside down and inside out.
The East Side had just gotten algebra; it was brand new to them. I am not fucking making that up. They just got algebra; it was new to them.
This ain't math. There's letters in it.
Yo, that's English.
Yo, that ain't even spelled a word.
No, that's English.
Pythagorean theorem. So, fuck you, man. Yeah, he squared my ass.
Middle school pregnancies, two of them. It was a just total cultural shock. And then the other transitionary period is like, so I did that school for, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. At the end of the 8th grade, I had to move back to my childhood home, which is in Kirby, which was once upon a time maybe nice, but now it's like a different kind of ghetto. But it was really sad because when I left that middle school, I found out like 2 or 3 girls had a crush on me, but I didn't do anything about it. And so I left that school and they were crying. And I was like, fuck. And this is before cell phones and email and shit.
Right.
So they're gone. Like they're just gone
they're
forever.
Dead now.
Oh, yeah, they're long dead. Yeah.
They're passed away.
And then so I was there two years of East Side Algebra going back to Kirby. And then total like just shell shock. Like, hey, guys, what the fuck's going on? Because I'm bringing all
you.
My. Yeah, that's me bringing that to Kirby. And then I was apparently like a hoodlum.
A ghetto kid.
Yeah, that was a ghetto kid in this weird thing.
Because you cussed too much.
Reading Stephen King like a nerd. But then apparently I was like a fucking ghetto like person. Like,
yeah.
The way I say it's not even convincing.
But
it was too much for them.
It's because you were still a nice guy.
Yeah.
You just learned the vernacular of the East Side. So you're like, you want to borrow my book, bitch? Yeah. Like, you like offer and just say, and they're like, no, you know.
What the fuck y'all up to?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, shit like that. Like, what the fuck are you up to? And like, and then chairs scattered off. Like,
while you're reading The Dead Zone or whatever.
No, pretty much. Yeah. What did Facebook have to say? I read a book called I Am the Cheese.
Facebook Answers.
It's pretty good. You should read it. It's good. Good book.
Bobby Smith says, I had a horrible experience because I went to school in Arkansas with all honors classes, moved to a school in Texas, and after a week, they took me out of honors and put me into special ed.
This kid's too smart. Must be stupid.
That's bad when you're worse than Texas.
Well, it's Arkansas, man.
I know. I get it. But still, we're not smart.
Yeah.
Samantha Lines-Rick says, I switched schools a lot, moving right before my senior year to a tiny remote town was the worst. All the other seniors had been together since kindergarten. I think I scared them because I hated both sports and country music. Most miserable year of my life. As a result, I jumped through a ton of hoops to keep my daughter from having to change schools in high school. Just the thought would give me flashbacks. Albert Perez says, the greatest experience ever. I changed schools for sixth grade and no one knew who I was. I wasn't picked on. I was simply nobody. And that was absolutely fine. It was a school full of military kids next to Air Force Base. My new classmates were all used to being new somewhere.
Right.
So we had all that in common.
Good answer. Yeah. Josh Pullen. Oh, man. Here we go. My mom wanted to travel the world, but instead had me and her sister, me and my sister. She made the best of it by moving us once a year. I've lived in 15 different Texas towns. Imagine being the new kid every year. Explains a lot about me. Done it. I put my foot down when I got to high school, as I'd never been able to develop any real friendships, and told her she would not move us away from San Antonio. I knew high school was where you make longtime friends, and I was right. I still hang out with those. I still hang out with the fools I met in ninth grade to this day. Yeah, it's nice.
Trenchcoat Mafia.
I've even brought them to the Blind Tiger before, and even one of them is a server at the LOL Comedy Club.
Keep in touch with your friends.
Circle life. That's tough, man.
Yeah, it's really
Angel
cool.
Beza says, when I was stationed here as a spy for the Soviet Union.
Here he goes, yeah. Fucking asshole.
May it rise again. The kids made fun of my shoulder pads, my brown military uniform, and my hammer sickle themed lunchbox.
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric Genevieve said, when I moved back to San Antonio after being gone 4 years and all of my friends ended up hating me and he got beaten up on a daily basis.
Sore subject, bro. You dork.
I know, right? It's tough. Carrie Reyes, finally, she says, when I was in sixth grade and about 12 years old, I refused to give this eighth grader a blowjob. He was so offended, he spread awful rumors about me and I was hated by what seemed like the whole school for being a whore. I moved schools for 2 years and came back to high school. Everyone still hated me, but just couldn't remember why. So she said, I didn't even have my first kiss till I was 15. That's tough, man.
Mine was 14, so so she didn't give a blowjob,
and they
called her a whore. So life lesson, ladies, just give a blowjob, and everyone will think that you're a sweetheart. Just remember that. No one will think you're a whore.
That logic's broken, but okay.
I mean, that's how... That was. I'm not mansplaining. A woman said that.
Okay, fair enough.
So those are all the Facebook answers. Anybody?
Case logic.
Okay, so I moved a lot. I think I went to like 6 elementary schools, 2 middle schools, and 3 high schools. So for no reason at all. We weren't military. We just moved a lot.
Jeez.
So the worst one was third grade, which is the only year I went to Catholic school.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, they were like not nice. So apparently that's also when I found out that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Ooh. Yeah, man, it takes away from Jesus. Like, is the reason for the season, man.
You dumbass, it's your parents. So I was like, I knew that. I totally knew that this whole time. Dumb. And then also that's where I got made fun of for being white. And I was like, I'm not white. I'm like complected. You assholes. But fun fact, 10 years later, all the girls... We're all teen moms.
Yeah.
So, yay, Catholic school. It was the best experience. Exactly. And it was the only time I went to Catholic school.
Yeah. So, we went to Catholic school, and then all you guys got pregnant.
And then we
before.
All were teen moms.
Teen moms. Mm-hmm. Way to go, man. Yeah, you could have had your own reality show.
I could have, but out. I didn't.
Thank you, Amber.
Thank you.
Gabe Real. Tell us about transitioning schools. How was your transition?
Well, I had a shitload of transitions because I was one of those military kids. I started off in San Antonio, though, like on the really... Is this not working?
No, just get a little closer.
Oh, sorry about that. So I started out, elementary school was Sky Harbor, if anyone knows the Southwest side.
Yeah, Sky Harbor.
And that's like this elementary school where you'd go to Southwest High School, mm-hmm. Dragons. And when I got there, it was like a prison yard, but it was like every single morning there were fights everywhere. I saw kids in like first grade with carried knives on a regular basis. God. It was a strange, like, that's what I thought fucking school was just like a place where you fought for your life every day.
Yeah, to learn. So,
eventually, I went into, my mom got transferred to Ramstein, Germany. I ended up going to Dodd Schools, which is military.
To Ramstein?
Ramstein.
Yeah,
Ramstein.
Yeah, dude.
Actually, the band is named after this Air Force base. Well, the village that the Air Force Base is named after.
Sweet.
And they have a song called Ramstein, which is about the air show disaster I was at when I was a kid.
Whoa.
Oh, what?
Shit. Yeah. Their song, Ramstein, self-titled
you die?
Song. No, but I saw a lot of burned flesh at a very young age.
God, dude.
Yeah, it's apparently I have PTSD, I guess. Anyway,
from the school, not from the Air Force thing, right?
No, from the air show disaster.
Okay,
yeah,
and I figured the prison life growing up would have got some PTSD as well.
Well, it's weird because that wasn't the transition that bothered me. Like when I got back to the States, I changed schools a bunch of times because I was supposed to go to Churchill High School.
Right.
And I went for a couple of weeks and I was like, I just really, I hated the whole atmosphere, the whole like prep school attitude in a public school, rich kids everywhere. And I had a friend who I lived next door to who went to alternative school. And I said, can I go to that school? And he said, I guess, you know, maybe ask. And so I used my PTSD to get into alternative school.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice. So thank God all those people died. So you could, man. All things happen for a reason. It's like, next time a loved one dies, just think that maybe it was for a reason so a kid could go to alternative school because he doesn't like the rich kids.
No, and I fit in. Like, it was cool. Like, there was all kinds of weird kids like me who, like, were into strange, you know, weird music and dressed weird. And I had a good time there. And it was all, you know, thanks to my friend who was telling me about it. He was like, man, it's fucking easy. Yeah. Like, they think that you're retarded anyway. So, like, you don't have any expectations for progress or success.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. That's pretty genius.
Yeah.
Like,
that's I was like, I'm in. And it's true. Like, I was in 10th grade for, like, 3 years, and it didn't seem to matter. Nobody was pushing me.
Hell, yeah.
And then I just fucking took my GED. And
I was going to say, you can make it all up really quickly.
I just took my GED. Yeah, exactly. When I was 18, I just took my GED, and I went to the class to study for it, and they said, you're going to need to study for this since, you know, you're in 10th grade, 3 years, you're obviously stupid. And I went into, I went into this class to take the test, and they do like a pretest. And then the teacher took me aside afterwards and says, you don't really need to be in this class. Like, just take the test. Yep. And sure enough, it was fucking the easiest test I ever took in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm so glad. So I work in a high school now. I'm so glad kids don't know what credit recovery is. Yeah. Because we have kids that don't go to school at all, and then they make it all up in like the last month on the computer through credit recovery. And if I knew that in high school, I was like, I'm just not going to go, and then show up the last month and punch some stuff on the computer, and you're done.
So that's right.
Get it done.
So your kids, guys, teach them. Big dicks will make kids. Shampoo will burn your dick hole. And don't go to school because you just
get credit recovery.
Yeah.
The state wants you to pass, guys. The state wants you to pass.
Anyway, the actual trauma was that at the end of like finally making all these friends for the first time since I've been moving around so much, I had to move to another alternative school because my mom moved. And at this new school, we literally had next door to us of an actual prison school. Like, it was juvenile.
Yeah.
Like, detention, but it was like a school. And we played 2-on-2 basketball with them on the weekends. Like, we got to go play the prison kids. Like, anyway, that's all I got. I overtalked.
No, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabriel. Yeah. Give it up for Gabriel, ladies and gentlemen.
Story. Thank you. Good sharing.
All right. So, Paulo, tell us about your transition. What's your pronoun?
Let's see. My parents moved around a lot because of my dad's job. So oddly enough, I ended up in Seguin, Texas for 8 years. And when I was there, I basically decided that, okay, well, this is fun and all. So I ended up moving back to San Antonio and going back to another Catholic school. So in prone with what Regan was talking about, getting double lunches, when I came back to basically to San Antonio, which was Holy Cross High School. Oh, it was Seguin High before, so big surprise. But Holy Cross, I ended up getting not only a double PE, but I also got, of all goddamn things, a double Spanish class. Yeah. And in both classes, because I was a senior, I was in a sophomore class, I basically did the class for free. I didn't have to do anything, and the teacher basically passed me with a 70 in Spanish. I don't know a goddamn word. And in PE, I was the strongest kid, funny enough.
Because you were a senior in a sophomore class.
Pretty much, yeah.
Went to tug of war 1-on-4.
I think the strangest thing, though, was that the fact that I used to be in Seguin High and all the middle schools back then, I end up now working at the place that supplies those places with the food.
What?
Wow. Full circle, man.
Yeah, once again.
All the enchiladas and cornbread?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, congratulations, man. You made it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you have children... And, you know, they're going to transition schools. You are going to ruin their lives. And if you work really, really hard and stay in the same house or apartment or at least the same neighborhood and you keep them into schools with the same friends throughout their lives, throughout their childhoods, you are going to ruin their lives. So regardless of what you do, your children are fucked. There's nothing we can do.
Well, okay.
There's no book about it. So parenting, fuck it. Like, you have no choice. You're fucking them up.
So raise your kids in a hood just for like a little bit, just to like just to check them. Not in middle school because they'll get like, you know, stabbed and fucked. But if you're like, if you take them to like fourth and fifth grade, like hood schools, and it's like, oh, fuck. And then they go to middle school and they're like, oh, thank God. Yeah. So send them to the hood, fourth and fifth grade. Regan?
So now it's time for the third and final topic of the night, which is my topic, which is called Hey, That's Not Funny, where we talk about stuff that is not funny at all. Today, we are talking about a science experiment or some research that came out of Lancaster University earlier this year that says how listening to music significantly impairs creativity.
Ooh, another music.
Oh, wow, that's a controversial statement.
So it says the popular view that music enhances creativity has been challenged by researchers who say it has the opposite effect. Psychologists investigated the impact of background music on performance by presenting people with verbal insight problems. So the thing is, it's saying not so much creativity, but like verbal creativity itself. So it's kind of, after reading the research, I'm like, does it really impair creativity? So what they did was they tell you like three words and they'd say like, hey, here's three words: dress, dial, and flower. Everybody think about that. Dress,
oh, is this
dial,
like,
and flower. Now winter, what's one word that you can soldier? Add to all three of those words? Dress, dial, and flower.
Soap. Soap.
Sun. Anyway, so like sun would be one. So sundress, sundial, sunflower.
All right.
So they did that, and so they were giving people those kind of questions. But in the background, they'd play one. They would play music with words. They'd play another. For another group, they'd play music with songs that you knew that had words, and then one they would just have background noise. So apparently, given those things, the music really screwed people up when they were trying to figure out the words that would associate. So it's not really like creativity as far as like their painting or their drawing or their writing or something. It's impairing their verbal creativity to match these words. So I was like, does it really inhibit?
Yeah. I can paint. I just can't think. I can't play Boggle.
Exactly.
With that, fucking so music on.
That's why I was like, they say it significantly impairs creativity, but
Teddy, ready with the 1-2 checker. I got an RNXF fuck, you know. And these Rex and effects and rocks.
Exactly. It's tough.
Rocks.
No shit.
Yeah.
That is tougher, right? Yeah. If you're trying to rap while a song's playing, that's, I get it.
But if Rum Shaker's playing, I'm fucking painting booties.
Exactly.
And shit. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know about these guys out of Lancaster University. They got paid to do that. Anyway. So that came up with my topic question, which is, does music make you more creative? And if so, what do you listen to when you want to be creative? So for me, I would say, like I said, when it comes to actually like creating things and actually I'm writing with words, I do think that music makes me more creative. But in sort of accordance with their research, I can't listen to things with words in it.
That was my answer. Yeah. That was going
to
be my
answer. So what I do listen to is when I write, it's a Pandora station based under Max Richter. Does anybody know who Max Richter is? He's a dude who basically makes like a lot of musical scores to movies, essentially. So it's kind of like
the guy from like Over the Top 2, like the villain of that movie.
He's a fat guy that can like cause earthquakes. Like, he's in Max Richter.
I'm gonna put you through a world of hurt, little man.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you won't, Max Richter.
We need the top drug drivers in the nation, and your name, Lincoln Hawk, and second name, Max Richter.
Yeah.
So yeah, I listen to Max Richter. Which is like, and then there's I don't know what even you call it. It's not progressive. What is it? What is just instrumental rock music? Is that a thing?
What, prog?
Yeah. Like there's a band called Caspian. I don't know if anybody's heard of them.
Yeah, it's Andy Kaufman's band.
But it's just like music with no lyrics. And it's fantastic. It's really great. And actually, when I'm writing with Max Richter, it actually is kind of neat when a particular song comes out and you're writing something that it's a musical score and you're writing something that goes along with this music, like you're writing something really intense and there's intense music. It is amazing. It absolutely, I think, helps with the creative process.
So my answer is going to be really quick because it's the exact same answer.
Max Richter?
Not Max Richter. But
Caspian?
But movie scores. I brought up my Spotify playlist called Writing because I have an issue like if I'm editing.
Is Max Richter on there?
Yeah, we'll find out. Trent Reznor.
You just listen to Nine Inch Nails.
No, I fucking imported an album, god damn it. So basically, if it has words to it and I'm writing, I will. I'm one of those guys that, you know, will be like exterior, San Antonio. Right. I want to fuck you like an animal. Damn it. Right. So I can't like listen to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I'll get all into it. Right.
Well, especially if it's long, it's a song that, you know, that's exactly when the research is backing it up.
So the one, I don't want to take Jess's answer because I have a feeling that one's
not Jess's answer.
No. But my favorite one is the soundtrack to Manhunter.
The Hannibal Lecter movie?
Yes, the Hannibal Lecter movie, the original Red Dragon. And I can't find the guy who did it, but that's sort of like 80s. Yeah, well, that one motherfucking song, goddammit. But basically the soundtrack to Manhunter, Tin Hat Trio, if you don't mind. Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. All of those like old 80s movie scores, like, you know, basically the score for Scarface, and that's kind of like a dumbass version of what I'm trying to
but it's like
out.
The music, it fits your mood or whatever you're writing helps
so,
you
I'm,
write
I'm able to
then.
Write but if it's anything popular like that study showing and stuff like that, I can't do it.
What about classical music?
I can clean do it.
I can do classical music as well too. Like Brahms.
I could do like jazz,
Schubert.
You know, like,
No, that's too crazy. Anyway, sorry, Jess.
Oh, no, I search for my music and for creativity, much like how you search for porn. You just go for like the basic search engine. So like you just go music to study to. And like, you know,
oh, really?
Yeah, because when you search for porn, you're like, big tits. Then you're like, okay, cool. Like, right? Or whatever it is you're into.
I am
so
very specific.
You just go on YouTube
on my
and you go,
Pornhub searches.
You just go music to study to. And so it brings up my favorite phenomenon, which is this series of channels called Lo-Fi Hip Hop Beats to Study to.
Yeah, and you posted the picture.
It's a series of these like anime pictures, like a picture of an anime character with headphones on. And there's usually like a cute little anime cat hanging out in the background. And it's just this looped. It's this looped animation of this, like, you know, person studying, and all the music sounds the fucking same. It's the same fucking sample, five songs in. It's like 80 million fucking artists, but all the song sounds exactly the same, and that's exactly how I like it, because it's really good chill music, but I don't get too invested into, like, oh, I want to know who that is. It doesn't fucking matter who it is. It's by J.B. Smooth or whatever the fuck it is.
And J.B. the comedian, J.B. Smooth.
And then, so it doesn't matter. Like, all these artists can go there, but the music is smooth enough and relaxing enough to work my creative juices into. So like if I'm writing or actually editing or actually doing some Photoshop shit, that's the thing I go to. Lo-fi hip hop beats to study to. Which sounds like a Lovage album.
To answer my question, it's the Manhunter soundtrack is by The Reds.
Okay.
Yeah, not Max Richter.
And Shriek Back and Red 7. So there you go.
Okay, so panel consensus of us three. Do you think music makes you more creative?
Yes
but like it's been said before, right? If it has lyrical content that you're familiar with, especially if you're familiar with, that seeks out into whatever you're trying to create.
So if we're all sitting down writing with no music, we'd do worse than if we had music, right? If we had music playing, we would write better. That's what we're all saying, right?
Individually, on our own.
If we had instruments.
The correct music that we want.
Yes.
Okay, cool. All right. Stupid Lancaster University.
Yeah, they don't fucking know shit about dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, they probably know algebra.
They probably studied monkeys and stuff, and like the monkeys cheating coins for food and all that stuff.
No, that stuff's real. That's real science. This is dumb. This is bogus.
Probably Rodney Dangerfield giving them pizza, making them watch wrestling.
Facebook answers. Marvin Lanier says, not music. When trying to be creative, I put on a familiar TV show in the background. When getting boring life chores out, if the way it is podcasts all the way, even podcasts.
Was music on while you were typing that?
Yeah, apparently.
Timmy Elliott says, Russian Circles. Anybody heard of Russian Circles?
Russian Circles, yeah. I saw them live. They're awesome.
Nice. Jason Shaggy Gossard says,
they're instrumental, by the way.
Okay, cool. Yep. Good. Yes, different music sparks my creativity, but in different ways, but never bluegrass. Bluegrass makes me want to hurt someone. That's what he says.
Jesus Christ.
Matthew Wayne says, listening to Public Access or other podcasts.
Hey, good. That's good on you, pal.
Yeah.
Josh Pullen says, Grupo Masore. Not even joking. Does anybody know the group Masore? Not even joking. Yeah. Someone broke into my car a few years ago and left one of their CDs.
That's amazing.
He's
just not even joking. Like, that someone broke into my car a few years ago and left one of their CDs. I used to listen to them before doing comedy and pump me up for some reason. And I'm white as hell and have no idea what the lyrics mean. But the hook from this song sounds a bit like the Darth Vader theme. And he posted, I gotta listen to that later.
Fucking, what kind of dork stole his car? What kind of fucking anime dork stole his car?
It's brilliant.
And still listens to CDs.
Well, it was a while ago.
If he said he used to pump him up to do stand-up, it was very recently.
No, he's been doing comedy for years.
Not as long as CDs have been used.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever lost that CD is still crying about it. Like, I lost a CD.
That's not how they sound.
I guess you're right.
Kill for a CD burner right now, man. I really... Forrest Gabbage says, film scores... My favorite are John Carpenter and Jerry Goldsmith.
Here we go.
Charles Gomez says lo-fi hip-hop beats.
Yeah. That's right, goddamn.
Anything with words and they distract me from what I'm trying to do.
That's right.
Lo-fi Angel Beza says the Soviet national anthem. Nothing is more creative. Alfred Perez says, yes, when I do, it's usually Daft Punk or Basil Polidorius scores, especially the Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, Conan the Barbarian.
More film scores. All right.
RoboCop.
Carrie Reyes says "The Dip" by Freak Nasty will give me motivation to do anything. Nicholas Lucero,
put my hand up on you.
That's just some magnificent paintings.
Gets your creative juices flowing.
Yeah, Bob Ross, get some other juices flowing.
And novel.
Nicholas Lucero says, "I listen to a mixed playlist of construction site noise and porn sounds."
I would assume they would roughly sound the same.
So those are our Facebook answers. Does anybody else have some live answers you guys like to share? First, who would like to come up and share what their music that makes them creative?
Kevin, welcome back.
Oh, sorry, but my grandfather, so he had Alzheimer's.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So this is answering your question. But so my grandfather had Alzheimer's, stage 3 to stage 4. He wasn't talking, and at the point, you'd play music. He was a huge, huge opera and classical music like buff.
That's awesome.
He would listen to Rachmaninoff's Sleeping Beauty all the time. Out of nowhere, we played it, decided he could start speaking again.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It really brings...
No, it absolutely has happened before.
Yeah. Like,
you
know,
like
sue creativity
Disney.
Is, you know, hey, that's making your brain move.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all in there. That's it's beautiful.
Fucking Coco, dude. Huh? Sue those motherfuckers.
No, that happens quite often with people when they with Alzheimer's. If they hear a particular song or something, they...
You can get royalties for that, man.
Remember? Yes, Brant Bumpers.
Brant Bumpers.
Hey, how you doing? Yeah. I got a boring answer. And I got a better answer. It's for variety, you know.
You got it, yeah.
You can edit out what you don't want to use.
Well, we're afraid of you.
Yeah, let's put it all out. So, boring answer. It depends on what, you know, what I'm doing, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Yeah. It's like when you ask somebody, what kind of music you like? Oh, what's good?
Yeah. I listen to everything.
It doesn't help. Yeah.
Fuck you, Jack FM listening, bitch. You boring fuck with no personality.
Milquetoast cunt.
Not you. I'm just looking at you. Yeah.
Next. So, but the fun answer is, you're like, don't say it. The Nazi thing, I'm joking. Yeah. But like the, I'm just kidding up here.
He's
but
one of like, the good Nazis, like, people.
Yeah, he's right. He was the one that was just doing what he was
Seriously?
Told.
When it comes to like,
I was
when it
just
comes,
taking orders.
When it comes to dark atmosphere stuff, the stuff that is in the opposite direction of that works the best. And that's the
interesting
kind of stuff. Like, you know, I mean, we've all heard it. Kind of like everyone's heard Perfect Day by Lou Reed whenever people are getting shot up in movies. Everybody's heard that.
Yeah.
We all know who Lou Reed
God, is. The Godfather scene where everyone gets shot and it's, you know.
Something like that.
Padres Veritizante.
Yeah, but, you know, Lou Reed, Perfect Day. There we go.
Yeah.
But, like, it's funny because it's the kind of music where I'm like, okay, if it's the kind of music where you could picture somebody standing on a balcony loading a gun and they're like people are running. But I was like, okay, when I was leaving my house earlier today to go disappoint my dad further, I saw some Mormon kids next door knocking on the door, and I was like, I'm leaving just in time. Yeah. But if they did show up to make them want to leave,
right,
instead of just telling them to leave, I would do something like put a song on and then go, yeah, come on in, and not open the door any further and make them have to open the door and see where I went.
Oh, fucking so, A, god damn.
That sounds like Brent to me.
Classic Brent Blumbers.
Classic Brent. If it's not the back of a van, it's a... To the
tenor. Sir? Sir, where'd you go?
I'm in the watchtower, motherfucker. Yeah.
You just hear a knife sharpening.
So come on in. I appreciate it. Have a seat.
So yeah, you know.
Do
you know
don't leave me. Don't leave me in the smoke, yeah. You bitch.
you just look him over.
It's the music you hear in the Sons of Lamb's basement.
You just look him over and you go, how much you weigh?
Are you about a size 16?
Yeah, all you got to do is just say, come on back here, and they'll leave. Because they hear this music, and they're like, okay, this is not going to end well. It's not going to be a bowl of ice cream or, you know, him actually wanting to hear about our Mormon ways.
Yeah.
So
come in, boys. Loosen your ties. We're going to be here a while.
Or will they see it as a test of their faith and walk back there and get murdered?
Would they play you 3-on-3 basketball? Because there's a YouTube video of that.
Exactly. And it works so well. That's why at the end of Hereditary, you heard Judy Collins playing and not something more scary, even though it was perfect. Oh, come on now. It worked perfectly. It worked for you. You cried.
Movie.
You cried on my shoulder. I had your tears all up and down my
sleeve. I saw that movie and I was just like, fuck you.
I loved it. I love seeing naked people in an attic. Huh?
I liked it to the end.
Yeah. But yes, that's my go-to is lighter music for darker moods.
Got it. All right.
Especially if you're a religious visitor.
Thank you, Brand Bumbers. That's a wonderful answer.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.
This is all music that Tommy Lee Jones died from a gunshot in a movie. Like up against a tree branch, and that's the music that plays, and you're like...
No fucking William Dafoe.
I guess I got to deliver the milk, and he just dies to that music.
He died in every movie. William Dafoe died in every movie he was in.
So you, Lancaster University and their study about how listening to music significantly impairs creativity. That's not funny.
Yeah, ain't funny.
It's not funny. It's not very funny.
Nope.
All right, my creative juices are flowing. So did you guys have a good time tonight?
Well, we appreciate you guys coming, and if this was your first time at Comedy Go-Go's Public Access Live, thank you so much for coming. Please come back. We do this every month here at the Blind Tiger. Follow us at Comedy Go-Go on Instagram and Comedy Go-Go on Facebook. But if you haven't noticed by now, this is an educational podcast. So we like to ask each other and our audience, what did you come to know? During this podcast, listen to us. What made you come to know something about yourself, life, the world in general? So please, this is only for our live audience. We don't have Facebook answers on this. If you learned something today, please go to the microphone and tell us something that you learned from our podcast. And we encourage our first-time visitors to come on. It's not embarrassing. We won't make fun of you. It's a good time. And for our frequent guests, please go to the mic. And I'll say it one more time because no one's fucking moving. So Jess, what did you come to know?
I came to know that I am a survivor. I am a survivor because I have known Brant Bumpers for many years.
Yeah.
And many a times, and many a visits to Brant Bumpers' house, have I opened the door halfway and music as such has played through. And Brant Bumpers very welcomely says, come on in. And he walks away. And I go, is this the day that's going to happen? I'm a gambling man. I'm going to roll the dice. And by on that logic, I am a lucky... I'm a winner, and I'm a survivor. But I'm also a great friend of Brant Bumpers. And if you haven't visited Brant Bumpers' house and then knock on the door and the door cracks open and you hear some music like that, I highly recommend
you just keep on going.
Just roll right in. Yeah. Roll the dice.
Watch some fucking Game of Thrones.
Hell yeah.
What I came to know is that Rammstein, Germany is Air Force base? The military base? Like, I had no idea. That's what it was. And I had no idea that there was an air show accident, catastrophe that happened.
And I also didn't know how ironic it is, and maybe in poor taste, that the band Rammstein, named after a military institute that had airplane casualties crash and burn, like to play with fire. So I think that I learned that, you know, Rammstein, man, they're dicks, dude.
Very insensitive.
I host them. So, Regan, what did you come to know?
I have come to know that the Soviet national anthem is both really good for karaokeing and helping you be creative.
Yeah.
So I might throw that on later, you know, while writing
throw
and see
there,
if that gets my creative juices flowing.
Not the Russian national anthem.
The Soviet Union national anthem.
And I keep Ivan on Drago. Hearing in my head, like, it's the melody of All You Need Is Love, but it's Russian lyrics.
Yeah. And then you hear, I will break dance.
That, and everybody likes listening to film scores.
That's right. Yeah.
This is true.
Paul,
what did you come to know?
It's been another good night and another good time to actually just hang out with three of the coolest guys.
That's fucking sweet.
I don't know if anybody heard that, but
all right.
Yeah,
and sir, please come on. And is this your first time at Public Access?
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much for joining us. And what did you come to know?
Actually, I just wanted to say we were just talking about Rammstein earlier.
Yeah.
We came and I was like, they're like, what's, you know, music? And I was like, Rammstein. And you guys just talked about Rammstein.
What?
And it blew my mind.
Yeah,
but,
meant
you guys
to be.
Sound like really cool, man. And,
thank you.
I definitely want to come back and see you guys. My name's Guillermo, by the way.
Guillermo, come on, guys. Thanks for coming up, man.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for coming. Show up on time next time.
He didn't know about it.
He stumbled in.
Well, thank you for stumbling
next
in.
Next time, yeah, he'll be on time.
10 p.m.
He's like Hot Wings Friday, and then he comes in and he stumbles upon
now
this decent
you know,
show there.
10 p.m. Thank you. You just got out. You know what? Yeah, I take it back, and I apologize, and I never do that. Yeah, so thank you for coming. No, thank you for coming at all. No, you know what? Coming late's good, because it means it took you a while to come. So, Kevin, our new best friend.
So, I've never been down here.
Thank you.
There's a reason.
But,
And you'll never leave.
Brad, get him.
Brad, get the door.
But I used to work here a long ass time ago. Used to work here.
Well, so. What character were you?
Indiana Jones.
The
character that we'll never use ever again after me.
Why? Why is that?
Because I shit in a cup and served it to his customers. Anyway.
Indiana Jones, the Temple of Pooh.
I like how Indiana Jones got blamed for that. Not you.
What's funny is here's a shit in a cup, right? And so whoever had to clean it up, I'm sorry, podcast listeners, they had to do this.
He's very hesitatingly grabbing the cup.
But did you chose poorly?
Yeah, there it is. And whoever grabbed it.
Little did I know that they were the owner's friends.
You should have put dry ice in it, and then it would have bubbled up. The kids love that.
I got a call back like 2 weeks later from the actual owners. Hey, come back, work for us.
And you're all like, no, man, I'm in Air Force One now, man. I have a new career. I'm fucking Calista Flockhart.
Yeah, he's a health inspector.
We're watching Under Siege for like a 100th time.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I have Amazon Prime. I'm definitely going to watch Over the Top 2.
Over the Top 1's on Amazon Prime, and Over the Top 2's on YouTube.
We made Over the Top 2.
I won't watch Over the Top, though, the first one.
Oh. Yeah, look up Part 2. It's way better. The guy behind you is in it, too.
Yeah, Brand's in it.
So, Brand Bumpers, our friend, finally, what did you come to know?
Yeah, it took a little while down here, but I finally came to know.
Yeah.
That you guys appreciate music, but not nearly as much as you appreciate film scores.
Yeah.
I don't consider that music.
I love film scores.
Yeah. I love film scores, but also... I also came to know that there's more people than I realize that have all transitioned to a hood school and then out to other side school. And that's something I think San Antonio can really wave a flag on.
Yeah.
And they should be proud.
That we're big on transitioning to hood school so that you can build that sort of character.
Diversity.
Yeah, and which disables you from going out and supporting live art.
That's the name of this podcast. Hood school transition.
Hood school transition.
There you go.
That's the name of the episode.
But before we leave, Jess, Where can people follow us? Where can they?
Well, once again, thank you so much for coming out to see us. We are Comedia Agogo. You can find us at ComediaAgogo.com, and we are on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube, ComediaAgogo.com. You can join our public access Happy Campers Facebook group so you can answer questions for our podcast when you're not able to come or when we're having a not live show.
Or you can get the topics before you come to the show so you can
yes. think and about it. And you can listen to the episodes like the ones we recorded tonight at oneofus.net. If you follow us, you will get the links to our latest episodes. They are a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming out. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And thank you to the Blind Tiger Comedy Club for allowing us another month of doing live shows. Please stick around for our midnight show that we have every Friday. We have comedians from all over the country, not just San Antonio, coming and doing the best. This is the only underground comedy club in San Antonio. So if you're from San Antonio or not, please spread the word. We really work hard. It's run by comics for comics. And if you're a comic listening or you're a comic in the crowd, talk to us about how to get on stage, because it is not an open mic. It is a showcase. And you can follow me personally at Larry Garza Comedy. And I am on Facebook as well under Larry Garza. There's thousands. So thank you guys so much, Blind Tiger Comedy Club audience. Please make some noise for yourself. And once again, this is Larry.
This is Regan.
And this is Jess.
And we'll freak nasty you later.
All right.